This week, we will see a change of administrations in the United States of America from the present incumbent Donald Trump to president-elect who will become President Joseph Biden. Many are breathing a sigh of relief after what is considered by many as a tumultuous Trump administration. On the other hand, others are nursing anxiety as to what will happen, especially as the far-left agenda is concerned. But for our part, let me say very clearly, as Christians, we do not see our cause as dependent upon a particular political party. Nothing is wrong with us individually having a political persuasion, just as I have. But as far as the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is concerned, we do not depend upon any political party because the rule of Christ already is in place. And that rule was not won by casting votes. That rule was not won by party ideology. Jesus is ruling because he earned it by way of his cross and resurrection. Now, when we hear the word resurrection, for those who are familiar with the Bible, they will immediately or instinctively think of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is considered the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And it would appear that in the very last verse of chapter 15, which is verse 58, it seems to be a fitting close when it says, be steadfast, be immovable, and then it promises that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That seems to be a fitting conclusion. But instead, Apostle Paul continues with chapter 16, which many may consider a postscript or a PS. Now, remember again that the original does not have any chapter division, no verse division, so that would appear in the original as just continuing. But it does seem to appear like a postscript to a very fitting conclusion in chapter 15. But chapter 16, in fact, have some of the practical implications of the resurrection rule of Jesus Christ. If he rules because he rose from the dead, the believer's life is under that rule, and it will be unlike the life of unbelievers. And I am using this chapter to show us what it is like to live under the rule of Christ in unruly times. I say that because if there is anything in the problem of the church in Corinth that Apostle Paul clearly exposes in this letter, it is their unruliness. The Corinthian church is an unruly church, and Paul is testing their obedience by answering some of the questions that the church itself raised in a letter, apparently. And Apostle Paul answers those questions, and you will find them in the first letter to the Corinthians by the expression now concerning. You can naturally divide many sections of the first letter to the Corinthians by the introductory phrase now concerning, and Paul gives the answers to those things that the Corinthian church has raised. And Paul is applying the rule of Christ on these issues. We may tend to belittle 1 Corinthians 16 as only a postscript, but I say it is very, very significant. And last week, we addressed what is next to the last of the clusters of the now concerning passages, and it is about the collection. And as I've said, while the immediate context is Paul's fundraising efforts on behalf of the church in Jerusalem, because the church is suffering a famine. From that immediate context, we see that Paul's expectation is that there is that regular habit of the Corinthian church, and not only of the Corinthian church. Apostle Paul makes reference to the Galatian churches. So we see here not simply financial management, but rather the habit of the Christian churches as far as their collection, as far as their sharing is concerned, under the rule of Christ. So we derived the message last week that the resurrection rule of Christ moves to generous sharing even in stingy times. So now we will look at another concern as far as the rule of Christ is at issue in the believer's life. I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16, and we will read verses 5 to 9. Following verses 1 to 4 last week, we read now verses 5 to 9 of 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 5 to 9. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. But I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul here is revealing his travel plans, but this is not just for details of information. Paul here says, if the Lord permits, so even in these travel plans, we see Paul's mind is oriented to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the will of Christ will reveal to him, that is what he is going to follow in his travel plans. What governs Paul's plans can be described in terms of zeal for Christ. Although the word zeal does not occur in our passage, that is the best word that fits Apostle Paul's attitude as far as serving God's people is concerned, as far as advancing the kingdom is concerned. Apostle Paul is filled with zeal, and it is that zeal that dictates his travel plans. So I give you this message. The resurrection rule of Christ inspires zealous service, even in idle times. Ang pamamahala ni Kristo na nabuhay na muli, ang siyang naguudyok sa masigasig na paglilingkod kahit sa tamad na kapanahunan. The resurrection rule of Christ inspires zealous service, even in idle times. Now, idleness in the sense of laziness may not actually describe the Corinthian people, but they were not zealous for serving Christ. One of the problems that Paul addresses in this letter is the mess that the Corinthian church has made in the exercise of gifts. You will read that in the three chapters from chapter 12 to chapter 14. And what explains is their lack of zeal to serve Christ as their ruling king. Their use of gifts was self-boasting. They used their gifts in order to make a show, in order to invite praise, or in order to outdo others. And that made a mess of the church insofar as gifts are concerned. It was a gifted church, which Paul acknowledges in the very first chapter. But in that very giftedness, there was no zeal for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is still a lot of that in our time. It is even compounded by a spirit of idleness in service. And so we turn to the Apostle Paul. Even in his travel plans, he is showing what it is to zealously serve Christ in his kingdom. How does Paul exemplify that zealous service, even in his travel plans, that should inspire our own zeal? May I suggest two things. First, he's willing to devote personal time. Zeal in service means willing to devote personal time. Nagkukusa siyang mag-alay ng kanyang sariling panahon, willing to devote personal time. And secondly, prepared to challenge hindering foes. Handa siyang humarap sa mga humahadlang na mga kaaway. Prepared to challenge hindering foes. So let us test our zeal. If we are serving under the rule of Christ, is there zeal in service? First, let us see Paul's example here and then ask ourselves, am I willing to devote personal time? Paul's plan is to go through Macedonia, and from Macedonia to pass via Corinth. Now, Corinth is what is called an isthmus. An isthmus is a small piece of land that connects two bigger lands. We have that, for example, in our Philippine map, Quezon is an isthmus that connects the great part of Luzon to the Bicol part. Now, Corinth is an isthmus that connects Macedonia, a big piece of land, to Achaia, another big piece of land, and Corinth is like a bridge. But Corinth is part of Achaia, not of Macedonia. And Apostle Paul says that it is his plan to spend the winter, if possible, in Corinth. Now, in those times, you don't travel in winter. And every travel plan must consider where to spend the winter. And Apostle Paul was hoping, if the Lord permits, that he would spend the winter in Corinth. And not only that, he made it even more explicit when he said, I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. So there he is saying, I want to spend time with you. I do not just want to go through Corinth in passing with a short-lived time, but rather I want to spend time. Now here we see the contrast between idleness and zeal under the rule of Christ. Short-lived service is characteristic of idleness. But zeal under Christ's rule spends time to serve. Ang katamaran ay maaari yung maglingkod ng bahagya. Ngunit ang tunay na sigasig sa ilalim ng pamamahala ni Kristo, yan ang handang gumugol ng sariling panahon. Oh, this is again connected to the motive of the Corinthians, which often is about boasting of their gifts. The Corinthians are guilty of this. And Paul needs to remind them in chapter 12, verse 7 of this letter. He tells them the manifestation of the Spirit, a reference to gifts, is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, it is true that zeal for serving Christ will move to use our gifts. In the case of the Corinthians, they will use their gifts only if they get the credit. Whereas zeal under Christ is willing to use gifts, willing to serve, even if we do not get the credit. But that is too much to ask of the idol. The idol will only serve if he gets the credit and not anonymous. Short-lived service would also be the result of the problem of partisanship, which we already encountered in the Corinthian church. They have their favored leaders. They have their favored people. And again, it is characteristic of idleness, not true zeal for serving Christ, when it is only willing to serve people in the list of its favorites, of their favorites. They are willing to serve in the company or for the benefit of favored brethren, but not just anyone. And this is where we need to appreciate the desire of Paul to spend some time with Corinth. Remember, he is passing by Macedonia. And if you are familiar with what he said of the churches in Macedonia, he commended them in 2 Corinthians 8 because of their sacrificial giving. So it might have been better for Paul personally to spend time in Macedonia, where he is much favored, than in Corinth, where this church has been a headache. And yet Paul says, when I pass by Macedonia, I would rather spend the winter with you. I would spend some time with you rather than just go through you in passing. And Paul is willing to spend some time with them. This is zeal for Christ. Will we serve Christ by serving brethren who may not necessarily be in our list of favorites? Perhaps even hurting us, as the Corinthian people did hurt the Apostle Paul. This is the way of Christ. Just review the immaturity of the disciples of Christ in his earthly ministry and how patient he was with them. And he continued to serve them. And the most important depiction of service that Jesus portrayed to his disciples is that of foot washing. Why? Because it was a servant's menial job. And after washing the feet of his disciples, he told them in John 13, verse 14, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." You do not become selective. You do not just put on a few drops of water. You really spend time. You really make contact and do something that may appear to others as menial. It is enough to think that this is for brethren. That is the spirit of service in the kingdom of Christ, which Christ himself has demonstrated. But very often, just like the immaturity of the Corinthians, we play partisan and favorites, and that results in selective service. But in the service of Christ, it takes time. Because oftentimes there is no immediate fruit. It is a test of zeal for Christ. In Paul's original visit to Corinth, which is recorded in Acts chapter 18, he spent 18 months to see a church established. And now he is planning to visit again. And it takes zeal to really serve Christ in idle times. Our service must be dictated by the rule of Christ, and among other things, it is tested by the willingness to spend time in serving brethren. I doubt many of us could afford the real luxury watches, you know, like Rolex and Patek Philippe or R.W. Smith. What makes them so precious is that they are made by hand, and it takes years to make just one piece of watch. It takes real commitment and devotion. If that can be done in about watches for commercial reasons, there is all the more reason for us to spend time, patient time, when it comes to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what his rule dictates. So I challenge you, let the rule of Christ govern your use of time with zeal in his service. Hayaan mong ang pamamahala ni Kristo ang manguna sa paggugol mo ng panahon nang may sigasig sa kanyang paglilingkod. Is the rule of Christ governing your use of time? This is a distinct characteristic of those who are under the rule of Christ. They use their time for service. And we are all familiar with Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. And how do we do that? It says, redeeming the time. Making the best use is some of the translations. Making the best use of time, for the days are evil. This is not just time management about disciplined scheduling. Even unbelievers know that. Some unbelievers are even better than some believers when it comes to scheduling and time management. This is not talking about time management. This is time consciousness for the service of Christ, taking the opportunity to advance his kingdom now. And time is one of those things that level all mankind. No one has more advantage than others. We all have 24 hours in a day. And a very common excuse I hear by Christians is, "I have little time left to pray and to meditate on the Word." Are you telling me you only use what is left? If you understand how privileged we are that we could pray and that we could meditate upon the Word, why should it be only when there is time left? This is not using time as one who is under the rule of Christ. These are idle times. And there are many things that you can spend time on that have nothing or little value to the kingdom of Christ. Amusements are plenty. Not that having some time for relaxation and amusement in itself is wrong, but we are awash with amusements, and many times Christians, without realizing it, are crowding out their time to serve Christ while they are busy with those things of little moment. It takes consciousness that you are accountable for your time to make use of it for zealous service. And this is what Paul has in mind. He is going to have his travel plans, and he wants to spend time in Corinth rather than the Macedonian churches, but in Corinth, where a church has been a headache to him and has hurt him, and yet he would want to spend time with them, he says, if the Lord permits. And if the Lord is calling us to serve him in any capacity, he will give the means and the time to do so. Augustine, in his Confessions, said a line that precipitated his debate with Pelagius. Pelagius, who believed that it is everything dependent on self. But Augustine said in his Confessions, command what you will and give what you command. There he recognizes the authority of God to command, but then also recognizes that when God commands, it is only God who could give him the grace to obey that command. And if we are commanded to serve him, then he has the grace ready for us to serve him. And that means willingness to spend time to serve him. Make an inventory of your time during this week or in the last few days or the first few days of this year, 2021, 17th day now. How have you made use of your time as one who lives under the rule of Christ? So where there is zeal under the rule of Christ, there will be that willingness to spend personal time. But secondly, Paul also demonstrates here that he was prepared to challenge hindering faults. And that is another thing that is needed. Handa na humarap sa mga humahadlang na mga kaaway. Prepared to challenge hindering faults. Listen to Paul's words. I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost because a wide door for effective work has been opened and there are many adversaries. Here again, you see the contrast between idleness and zeal under the rule of Christ. Idleness by nature is cowardly to hindrances, but zeal under Christ's rule challenges those hindrances. Ang katamaran ay likas na duwag sa mga hadlang sa paglilingkod. Ngunit kung may sigasig ka sa pamamahala ni Kristo, haharapin mo ang mga humahadlang sa paglilingkod. We learn from this information that Paul wrote the Corinthian letter when he was in Ephesus. And we learn of his ministry in Ephesus in Acts 19. We know from what is recorded that there was indeed a case of persecution that Paul suffered in Ephesus. There was the gang led by Demetrius who hurt Paul physically. Not only does Paul see the adversaries, he sees the wide door for effective work. That is his language for opportunities of service. Between the two, zeal will choose the door, idleness will see the hindrance and will flee. You see this in Proverbs 22:13, the sluggard, the slothful. The idol says, there is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Idleness creates its own imagined hindrances, and the result is lack of service. it is characteristic of many duties of serving in the kingdom that there will be, like Paul saw in Ephesus, a combination of potential, the open door, and peril, the adversaries, and zeal will choose the potential despite the peril. Idleness will run away from the peril and thus let go of the potential. When we still had normal assemblies, some found it so easy to absent from the assembly for the lightest of excuses. When there is an opportunity for ministry, instead of seeing the potential fruit, what idleness will dictate is the cowardly attitude that is scared by rejection. That service Jesus rendered is one that called for the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross, but he saw more than that. We are told in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So he saw the cross, and indeed it was a scary spectacle. So much so that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But then, in his true zeal for God, he added, not my will, but your will be done. And when he looked at the cross again, he saw there was joy in that spectacle of suffering for sinners. This is your only hope for salvation, that this Jesus, though he could run away from the cross, yet he endure the cross, we are told, in order that he may save sinners. Your only hope is Christ. If you do not come to Christ, whatever it is you are doing in terms of religious zeal and activities, you have no hope of salvation. Only Christ is the Savior. He endured the cross. And this becomes an example to you and me who are followers of Christ that our zeal must be dictated by the potential we see more than the peril that scares us. Zeal for Christ is courageous in the face of peril. Now, much of the peril to us would not involve martyrdom. Many in the early church and many still today in some parts of the world are still facing martyrdom. Just yesterday, the journal Christianity Today published, according to World Watch List, an agency that is monitoring the development of persecution of Christians. And according to the World Watch List, on average, every day, 13 Christians are killed for their faith. That's around the world. 12 churches and Christian meeting places are attacked, and 12 Christians either unjustly arrested or abducted. That's daily around the world. You and I do not have that peril. And yet, it is easy for many today to be scared by possibilities of rejection and other things, rather than have the courage. You know, the Korean entrepreneur Lee Byung-chul started a company with so many competitions around him and with little precedent for an Asian succeeding in the field that he has chosen. But he was undeterred and pursued on, and in fact, he called this company in its Korean name. It has the meaning of three stars. We know it as Samsung. And we know it to be now on top of the field because he was not afraid of competition. That's business. We're talking here of the kingdom of Christ. And all the more, we should have the courage, whatever the peril, to see the potential of service. So I challenge you, let the rule of Christ overcome your fears in service to his kingdom. Hayaan mo ang pamamahala ni Kristo ang manaig sa iyong mga takot sa paglilingkod sa kanyang kaharian. I am not saying remove your fears. We all have our fears. Fearlessness is a delusive condition. Apostle Paul admits as much when he first visited Corinth. He said in this letter, chapter 2, verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. That was the condition of Paul, in fear and much trembling. And yet he pursued his service, preaching nothing else but Christ and Him crucified, and it bore fruit. There must be something that is so much more important to us that will transcend and overcome our fears. And one should be the cause of the kingdom of Christ. And we want to demonstrate the kingdom through our life. We want to demonstrate the rule of Christ by bearing witness to it so that it may advance to be espoused by those who are outside. If we are doing this, if you are hearing this message, it is because of that desire to let you know there is a ruling king who alone can save you, but you must cast your faith in him and submit to his rule to be part of his kingdom. And Christians must have the courage to overcome fear in seeking to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Fear of hindrances is a very effective deterrent to serving Christ. And Satan knows it and uses it a lot. But we are not to be under the rule of our fears, though they are there. We are under the rule of Christ. Apostle Paul said to the Romans in Romans 12:11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So there you have the alternative, slothful or zeal. Let zeal for Christ overcome your fears. One such zealous man was John Wycliffe, whose zeal was for the Bible to be translated into readable English, so that it may be understood by his countrymen, the Englishmen of his time. And he translated it at a time that it was forbidden by the mainstream church. It was included in their syllabus of forbidden reading that lay people cannot read the Bible in their own language. It can only be read in Latin with the guidance of a priest. And John Wycliffe believed that ordinary people should read the Bible and should be able to understand it. And he published his Wycliffe Bible in the 14th century in English. And it was a bestseller. For that, he was hounded by the authorities. He managed to keep himself hidden until his death. But when the authorities discovered his burial site, they were not satisfied that he was dead. They dug him up and burned his bones. That's how they hated his guts in having the Bible translated. But that's how zealous John Wycliffe was. More than 100 years before there was the King James Bible, someone was zealous enough to have the Word of God read. Now, what is your zeal? Where are you being zealous in service? We live in idle times. Let us show what it is to serve under the rule of Christ with zeal. For most of those who profess to be Christians today, they are zealous in other things of little moment, not for the kingdom of Christ. Others are idle. Let those who are living under the resurrection rule of Christ show the difference. Let them be like the Apostle Paul, willing to spend time in people who may be compared to the Corinthians. people who hurt, people who cause headache. But Paul is willing to spend time with them. Let us be like Paul, who saw adversaries in Ephesus, but he saw more the open door, and he was willing to stay in order to serve. There is the call of service to each follower of Christ. The question is, are we zealous under his rule? In response, let us sing the hymn, "There's a Work for Jesus Ready at Your Hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do." So you are being called to that work. Let us respond with zeal, for he is ruling over us because he is our risen Lord. Let us sing, "There's a Work for Jesus." Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Father, indeed we confess that Jesus is risen from the dead, and because of his resurrection, he now rules. We pray for those who have yet to accept that rule and to bow down to his kingship, that now would be the day when they would realize that they are outside a kingdom, and outside a kingdom is sure damnation on the last day. And we ask, Lord, that they may take the opportunity of the invitation, that they may come to Christ and cast their faith upon him as Savior and bow to him as Lord and be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are followers of Christ and under his resurrection rule, one such test is zeal in service, zeal in a time of idleness. May we not be like the Corinthians in their immaturity, who have made use of their gifts for self-boasting, who have allowed partisanship to rule their kind of service. Rather, help us, Lord, to see the zeal that Paul here demonstrates as being a follower of Christ, that he was willing to spend personal time, even in Corinth, a church that has caused him much hurt and headache, and yet he was willing to spend time. And may we be of such zeal, for the Lord Jesus himself was patient with the immaturity of his disciples, and grant, O Lord, that we may be followers of Jesus in this regard, that we let his rule govern us, even in the use of our time, that we are walking wisely, making the best use of our time in order to serve our Lord Jesus. And we pray that we may be such servants who are willing to face the challenges of adversaries. Indeed, in every form of service to you, there will be the potential and there will be the peril. And many times, because of the peril, others choose to flee in their cowardice. We pray that as we admit to you, we are fearful by nature, and like the Apostle Paul, in his first visit to Corinth, he had fears and even trembling, and yet he still served. May we have something that transcends our fears and overcomes them. Let one of those be our service to the kingdom of Christ, our life for him, our witness to him. And may we have that readiness to take that work for Jesus that you have given for us to do, and do so with zeal. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In the name of Jesus, amen.